Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors Special Meeting, August 29th, 2007. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill?
Here.
Vice President Bookout?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Please join us in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on any item that's not on the agenda. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Mark?
Good evening, President Hill, members of the board. My name is Mark Wampler, Roy Grande resident. I've been absent here for several months, and questions raised has been risen, what happened to Mark? And I've had to kind of kick back and regroup a little bit, consider the things that's happened here on this district. And many have come before me and others, very diligent, heavily involved, and gotten very little accomplished here on this district. I'm one of them. I think back here late last year, when there was a movement to renovate this meeting hall, all kinds of excitement about repainting, new fixtures, window coverings, etc. Whatever happened to that? Just kind of died on the vine, didn't it? I can think about other municipalities such as Santa Maria and Grover Beach, who have very aggressive and proactive graffiti abatement programs. If any town or community needs one, it's Oceano. And I tried to do that. It would have been nice to have said, hey, Mark, we don't have the money, we don't have the jurisdiction, but it was a nice idea. I didn't even hear that. I hope some others will come along with some energy and get some things done here on this district. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
His presentation on the items that he is recommending for board consideration, and then following that, would suggest you open up to comment.
Thank you. Chief?
Thank you. And good evening, President Hill, honorable members of the board, and members of the community. I'm Doug Hamp, your interim fire chief. And one of the things that I do in these positions when I take them, I have about 37 years of experience, so I try to collect all of that and take a look at the communities I'm working with, and are we indeed doing things right and also doing the right things. When I came to Oceano, I had some restrictions on the time that I can work, and I said no, but then I called back immediately and said, no, I really care what happens to Oceano, and I always have, and I think it's it's been a great opportunity to be able to get in here for the period of time that I can. So before we started doing any futuring, I got with the Firefighters Association as a group, and we talked about mission statements, we talked about the value statement, we talked about the culture of the organization. And I asked them, do you have a mission statement? And a couple of them said, yes, we do. And I said, what is it? And they said, we don't know. In fact, if I was to speak to any of you in corporations or other businesses where there's a mission statement, you'd probably say, yeah, we have one. I saw it on the wall, but I really don't know what it says. And maybe they don't even know what it really means, because usually they're too difficult to remember, and they get too complex. So we talked about that for a while, and I said, if you're going to have a mission statement, it has to be something that gives a real clear feeling about the direction you want to go. And as an organization, we really don't know where we're going to go unless we have that feeling. And the same with values. If we don't have values, how can we place a value on what we do and the services we provide? And the same on a culture. A culture is something that the organization has to create, and that people that join this organization have to subscribe to, so we can ensure that we're providing a quality service. And these documents many times are written well, or they're written in a weak fashion. So we went through this exercise a little bit. I did not write those. They would bring back ideas after about 2 weeks. And on one particular item, I said, when you're writing this one, you have to write from your heart. You guys really know what it means to go out and help people and do those things. So when you write it the way you feel. Don't worry about any macho stuff. Truly was caught off guard, and I truly appreciate the way they were thinking. They value the diversity of our community, and this is a very diverse community. You have a broad range of people in economic categories and in countries of origin that have relocated here and all those things, and that's a challenge, and they recognize it, but they value it. And I think that's really a neat thing that they did. We value our responsibility to protect life and property. It's an awesome responsibility, and the fact that they have that right up there in the front, I think, is great, and they should value that responsibility greatly. And we value prevention through education, and I think that's a tremendous thing that they've listed. And the other thing that we can do is when we prevent people and keep them out of harm's way or ready them for major disasters, which come and happen, and there's no way to avoid it, we can, by the diversity of our community, there's actually information out there we can get in several languages, from Cantonese to Spanish, German, whatever we want. That stuff is available. It's available for free. So I imagine you'll see some real active programs in the future where we actually address our entire community. We won't miss anybody. And we value safety and service, and that's a real important one. It's easy when you're aggressive and young and do things like that to hurt yourself or hurt others simply because a little more maturity has to be had. But they value that, and I think that's a great value to have. The department culture is something that we live by and people, again, have to subscribe to. And at the Oceano Fire Department, our citizens are our top priority. In this community, they put the citizens first above all else, then the district, then the department, and then themselves. We went through that exercise because that's a real important thing. If you put yourself first and always saying, what about me? It's not like a seagull out on the pier. It doesn't do any good for anybody. You have to put the community first. That's who we're here for. And they've agreed to that. We've talked about that frequently. And so they put that is their main priority. The Oceano Fire Department has a long tradition of service. Our duty to serve means that everyone is treated with respect, integrity, sensitivity, and professionalism. We strive to make difficult situations easier on those that are affected in any way possible. If we find a person on the front seat of a Rolls Royce who's face down and ill, and we also find a person face down in a grass field with alcohol poisoning, then we are united. We pride ourselves in not only helping citizens throughout our community, but assisting our brothers and sisters. This is a second family. The Oceano Fire Department trains as if our lives and yours depend on it, because they do. But it does not stop there. We are dedicated to protecting the quality of life through ongoing education and preparation. And we'll visit that later on in the program. We dedicate ourselves to the well-being of every man, woman, and child in the community. And they spoke of that include people passing through our community. I love this one. The Oceano Fire Department is citizen-owned and citizen-operated. Our goal is to share in a sense of pride and safety when the fire engine drives by or when visitors stop by the fire station. They wrote this. I didn't. And thank you for doing that. The next thing that I do is talk about futuring fire and life safety services. Futuring, you won't find in the dictionary, but futuring is an old term I've used for many years, and it audits current service deliveries, analyzes cost effectiveness of those services, and also tries to predict fiscal forecast. Futuring explores opportunities. Where did it go? Futuring explores opportunities and discovery of local resources available to us. Futuring researches potential ways and means to acquire needed quantities of tools, equipment, and personnel. Futuring provides policymakers with the positive and the negative truths, allowing for good decision-making. This board cannot make good decisions unless we tell them both sides, the bad part of it, the tough part of it, and all the good. So you'll hear us, we will cover some of those. Then we have the challenges, and I've only created three types of challenges, just to give you an overview. Providing adequate and efficient staffing at a reasonable investment. When I talk about adequate, that means numbers. When I talk about efficient, that means the quality of the response. You can have a large number of people that show up but don't know what they're doing or don't know how to work in a command structure, and your call will reflect that accordingly. And you can either spend a whole lot of money and get that result, or you can spend a reasonable amount and still get the same result. But our intent is to do this in the most reasonable way we can. As an example, to try to revive me or intervene at the process of the cardiac arrest going any further. When the fire department gets there, we take a look and we try to establish if it was a witnessed arrest or whether they came upon this person. If so, and it makes no difference, we have to establish an airway. We have to see if we have a pulse. We have to see what the blood pressure is, if there is any, and do those basic vital things. The other thing that we try to do is to start chest compressions, try to get the heart to start pumping blood. If we have the automatic defibrillator, we'll use that, and we'll do that until personnel arrive with advanced life support. And when advanced life support arrives, we still continue a lot of these different services. And we help them set up the IV bags. We help package the patient for transport to the hospital. And very often, on full cardiac arrest, a firefighter will go in the ambulance and continue those services on the way. 3 minutes is a very important period of time. The survival rate on cardiac arrest, on this scope here, it might be difficult for some of you to see, but there's a 90% rate for 1 minute. In other words, if it's a witness arrest and we have early access to the patient, we begin CPR, we begin early defibrillation, and early advanced care, this person has a 90% chance at 1 minute of surviving this. Then it drops to 3 minutes. There's a 70% chance if we provide early access, early CPR, early defibrillation, and so on. So you can see as the time goes, when we get to 6 minutes, there's a 50-50 chance of survival, even with all of those types of treatments. And then if we get down into the 10-minute or over 6 minute, the chances are reduced significantly. At the 3 minute mark, irreversible damage to the brain can occur. And then from that point on, it just gets worse. So you can see that critical time of 3 minutes is certainly something to remember. Also, a critical amount of time in vehicle extrication requirements. There should be no less than 6 personnel per vehicle involved. Victims should be extricated within 10 to 20 minutes. I think 20 minutes is too long. There are those cases that it may take that long on very severe situations. However, the means of managing a call like this require an engine company to go. Once the captain gets there, he becomes the incident commander of this incident. He will call for additional resources as needed. And how he identifies those resources is when he gets there. On our engine, there's 2 people. He'll get off, and he will do an outer search. And then as the people come in, he will have a safety officer watching. And one of the things that happens very often is that rescuers will be in a hurry. They'll be using the jaws or something else, and they'll move their goggles or their face shield up and start working without it, not even knowing it. So we have a safety officer that will go, you know, get your face shield on and so protect him. Get your gloves on. Or if he sees that there's not adequate lighting, he'll move he'll have people provide lighting. And then he'll send all these people back into a pool when they need cribbing to crib the car so that it doesn't move. Or he needs firefighters to crawl inside and be with the victim to protect them during extrication. These are all the things that happen. And it has to happen in a critical amount of time. So that's why it's important that when we go through this exercise, you remember this critical amount of time and the resources we currently have and the resources we're looking at. In the critical amount of time, and this is a national thing. This was done by, I believe, NFPA, and they came up with 1,080 square foot single-family residential requires no less than 15 to 21 people to respond. And I'm not going to drag out fighting a structure fire, but there are several things that happen. On the structure fire, when we get the call during the middle of the day, the captain, as they leave the station, if they can see it or they get information, they know by the address what type of occupancy it is. We all know that if it's going to be over on Front Street at a certain address, it's probably a commercial building. So there's a little hint as to what they'll be dealing with. Or if it's over in a residential address, he knows that. So he knows he's probably dealing with a residential. He also knows whether it's going to be wooden structures that are very close together or maybe apartment buildings. Just from the address, he should know that. The other thing he can tell is from the smoke, the color of the smoke, as to what stage the fire might be in. Large gray smoke billowing up, light, wispy, may not be too bad, but when he sees a big cloud coming or black coming and the asphalt roof products are burning or the wood starting to burn, the heavier fuels, he gets another feeling. So what happens is on these is he'll get there and he'll look at this thing, and on our engine company, they'll get there and they have a thing where they'll catch the hydrant but not put water in the hose, waiting for the next engine company to come to do that because of the time element. And I want to give you a little exercise real quick right here, if I may. There's a fire starting in a structure at 2 in the morning. And on the bottom, for those who can't really see it, it's minutes. And the vertical column is in degrees, 0 to 1500. What happens is the fire may burn, and I'm going to just now, let's say we're at 2.5 minutes. A person sees the fire, they call the dispatch center and they say there's a fire in the residence down the street, and they give them a close address. And that takes for a person to call that in and a dispatcher to receive it, I'm going to say 45 seconds to a minute. That's probably a pretty good conservative approach. And so now we're up to about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, something like that. And then that dispatcher now will dispatch out all the equipment. And that's probably going to take a minute and a half. So let's say we're at 4.5 minutes. And the call comes in. The guys are out in the office or wherever they are. They go downstairs. And to make that story short, most people will agree it's about 2.5 minutes to get out of the station once you get in there and get your gear on, get your pants, get your coat and your helmet. It takes about 2 to 2.5 minutes. So now we're up to probably... Where am I here? I'm about 5 or 6 minutes. And about a 4 minute drive time. And that's a generous time. So 4 minutes to get to the fire. And once you get to that fire, if I can get this thing to, whoops, am I using the right one? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. So we're about in here. We got a 4 minute driving time. So now we're going to get over here. Let's say about 10 minutes. 10 minutes is from the time the fire starts until the time we get there. If you follow this up, this time temperature curve, right in here you'll see it says fire growth, 300 degrees. 300 degrees is where common combustibles begin to deteriorate. The human body decomposes at 300 degrees. Fabrics, papers, drapes, carpet will begin to decompose and burn readily at 300 degrees. The fire loading in a house is about 0 to 5 pounds per square foot, is what they figure. My house, when I moved in, is about 50 pounds per square foot. We had no place to put anything, but it normal is about 5 pounds a square foot. So anyway, this thing is growing 300 degrees. Our next engine comes in, and I talked to the guys here, and they said Grover Beach may be a minute to minute and a half, 2 minutes behind us, depending on situations, on their availability. So that kind of takes us off the chart out here. But if you go up, it talks about 1,000 degrees. 1,000 degrees is where you get flashover. Flashover is not backdraft. Flashover is where solids begin to turn to gas at 1,000 degrees. Wood starts to give vapors. If you look at a candle, when it don't need people to go inside and pull the ceiling down, because when this fire is burning at that temperature, it's into the attic. And that's why we cut holes in roofs. So all the heated smoke and gas will be directed out and not laterally. So we do pull ceilings from room to room, and then we can stop the fire that way. There's a lot of other things, and it takes 21 people to properly manage a structure fire like that. Potential ways and means to maybe enhance our response. It's an expensive business we're in. About 2.5 years ago, Roy Grandy entered into an agreement with Grover Beach. And they said, let's find a better way of doing this, a more cost-effective way. And so they elected to share a fire chief. And it's still alive today. It's working well. You got a new chief in there now. He's got some fresh ideas. People seem to be very responsive. I did a background check on him when he was selected, and he was known for his great character, his intelligence, and his experience and ability to get along well with others, and they said he would be perfect for your community. Right now, we're in the final process of hiring a fire training officer. The training officer is an important position that, number one, it provides a backup chief officer for the fire chief to be able to address issues at the station level. All stations, not just Arroyo Grande, not just Grover Beach, it would be all three stations. He would manage those kinds of issues. He would make sure that all the stations and all the personnel are trained to the same level, the same efficiencies. So it's an important position, and that's ready to be started here real soon. So this is an example of cost sharing and cost avoidance. Again, we don't have to necessarily have a fire chief. We can use those funds and invest them in our service levels. The training officer is something we would buy into and get the benefit from that use. Another potential ways and means is the fire dispatch services. This is being looked at now. There's talk, the word centralized may not have been the best word to use, but what we tried to do is to find a dispatch system, and we worked on it and we've been working on it, that will be more effective, get our equipment out quicker. And basically what we said was, instead of, if Grover Beach has a fire, structure fire, they should not have to call Arroyo Grande and handle that separately, or call Oshio and handle it separately. When they have that fire, they should punch out all of that equipment that basically belongs. When I was fire chief at Arroyo Grande some time back, I saw guys from Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande meeting, and I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Well, we're coordinating our budget." What we did was, is they identified the needs as a department, as a total department, and Arroyo Grande said, "We will go after these issues, and we'll share them with you." And Grover Beach said, "Okay, well, we'll go after these issues, and we'll share them with you." And they did this, and it was really a neat thing. And they kind of did it on their own, so it's contagious. And what they did there was be able to share those resources without both of us buying the same thing. Interagency compatibility, that's a big deal, and that's the kinds of things that happen in these discussions. I remember back when, not that long ago, Roy Grande got breathing apparatus, so did Grover Beach. You go to a call, and you couldn't use each other's equipment. We ordered different stuff. You know, that can't happen again. This is part of that discussion. So we do that. We decide what we're going to buy, and we all buy the same thing. So we can share it. When we get there, we can use theirs, they can use ours. That's cost sharing, cost avoidance, and cost reductions. Potential ways and means when it gets down to equipment sharing. As of now, Oceano has entered into agreement with Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande on sharing of equipment. This is usually the big stuff. And it's neat. They just signed this agreement, and so there's a lot that can come of that. So I think that was a great move. One of the nice things is that Arroyo Grande, for example, has specialized tools and equipment. They have a drafting pit. They have something that we don't have, but anytime we do major maintenance to our vehicles, we take them over to Arroyo Grande. We can use their test pit with the mechanic, and they will run our engine through that process, check the pump, and check the engine, and we can do that. Those are hard to find, and there's one built over there at Arroyo Grande. Specialized vehicles. Again, Arroyo Grande has a 75-foot aerial truck, which is a ladder truck. They will respond, and they can come on first response on structure fires. Their job is to pull up out front. This thing is nothing more than a huge toolbox with a long ladder, and they provide a very special function. They can go to the roof. We try to throw two ladders up when we go. It takes about 3 to 6 men to do that. They get to the roof immediately, and then they work for the guy inside. They coordinate and open up that roof, and then they attack the fire. If you open it up at the bottom, that's when you get your explosions or generate a lot of extra fire. Grover Beach has an air breathing unit, so they can respond that to all of our calls, and we can fill our breathing apparatus bottles at the scene. We don't have to go back to the station like we used to. Reductions in vehicle fleet. I made a comment to the paper, and they probably wrote it, but it was an example. We don't have to do it. You could conceivably, by doing this process, you could actually eliminate an engine out of your fleet, an older one, a reserve engine that is costly to keep and uses a lot of fuel, You also have some utility vehicles out there. You may not need to. If you were to put those on the market, and I went on the internet on this fire department vehicles for sale, there's a total value there of $80,000 to $100,000. Now, compared to the original purchase prices, that's not a lot. But if they're costing you money to keep, you know, and you're into an agreement like this, you could consider that. A modified reserve firefighter program. As of right now, each department has an inventory of reserve firefighters. Volunteers no longer exist. If they do, they are usually the seniors that come around and do things and help us out on special projects or something. And the reserve firefighter program, like I say, Roy Grandy, I think, has maybe 15. Grover Beach, maybe down to 10 or 12. And I think we have 14. The program we're talking about was talked about quite some time ago, where we wanted to create a regional reserve program. Because these guys also may work two jobs, they're raising their families, they have other things to do, we could conceivably, let's say each of us had 10. We have 30 reserves that serve each department. In other words, they don't have to work out of here, but when we push the button, we can have 30 people come our way. And it's an excellent, excellent opportunity. And so it's something that we think would work well. It's not done yet. The chief is working on it. But it takes a reasonable approach. We can cross staff. If we were able to put a third person on our engine, we would create our efficiencies by over 65%. And you can do it with a reserve member. And the way we could do that is we simply, if we don't have anybody available, we just go into our system and a guy will show up. He may be an Roy Grandy firefighter, maybe Grover Beach. He'll show up and he'll fill the third seat. And the nice thing is that these guys, the reason they can do that is they're all trained alike. They all have a home-based membership of X amount, and every department can have any amount they wish. They have a standardized training program that our training officer put together. So we're all trained to the same level. There's absolutely no question as to how this guy functions because he's part of your program. And he's qualified to fill. I think it's a grand opportunity. That's a neat program. I'm excited. Other cost avoidance and reduction opportunities are for potential piggyback purchasing power. So if Oceana wanted to buy X amount of items, and we're all using the same items, and we have a program budget that we agree on, maybe we lay it out over a 5 or 10 year period of replacement dates, we have a lot more purchasing power with three departments buying it, because the number of the items we buy increases, and then we have some negotiating room. May not be a great savings, but a savings is a saving, and that's what we're looking for. Availability of vacated office space. Should Oceano elect to participate in this, the fire chief's office is sitting back there, and I've heard some discussion about they want to do some expansions or utilization of people. That would make office space available, and that goes for any of the agencies, obviously. There's a potential reduction in overtime and infringement on PES hours worked, and I won't get into all the details on that, but with our reserve members, if they work in excess of a certain amount of hours, they automatically become a PERS employee, and it's very costly. So by having a system in place that monitors that, we can fill. We can reach over and grab another person and bring him in, and he'll fill that slot, and we can reduce some of our overtime costs with that. Control the fire department growth, save lives and property with automatic fire sprinklers. Right now today, and I may be premature on the statement because I talk about it a little bit later, Phil and I went down the street the other day to look at a project that a person wants to put in. There's an old wooden building, a couple doors up. The guy wants to tear it down. How many apartment units does he want to put in? Do you recall? Okay, let's say 10 apartments or whatever. And it goes back about 150 feet on the lot. And the challenges that we have right now are is we have an inventory of buildings that we really don't have enough folks effectively to go fight a fire in. And we have a lot of people that we need to serve, and our response times are somewhat extended. Put an automatic fireman in all new construction, and it costs a little bit more, about the same as carpet. And as an example, I told Phil when we do it, let's condition these with fire sprinklers, and we did, and the guy called back, or when Phil talked to him, and said, okay. You know, I mean, they're used to it. It happens all over. Every community is doing it. So it's not something that is going to, I don't think, wreak havoc in the community with the development committee. They kind of expect it. And we can keep growth on our fire department by spending flooded. Even on major structural fires in commercial buildings, no more than five heads open. And those systems are designed for commercial, and they put a lot more water with greater density. These are residential systems. These are designed to save lives, not save the building. But their history is 96% effective, and they put the fire out or hold it in check, and we can go in and put it out, and our next major purchase might be a water vacuum. And we can cost share a future recruitment of part-time reserve members. As we bring these folks on, it's a little costly. They have to have physicals, drug tests, and all those types of things. And if you have a program that says we all chip in and pay for this, then we can have a waiting list, or we can have a group of people that we can bring these folks in from that are all done, and we can do it at cheaper cost than we're doing it today. Seek new revenue sources. And this is something we really need to look at. Increase our revenues and participation in out-of-county strike team assignments. We do that now, but what we need to do is make sure that we're recovering our costs fully and make sure that we don't go on out-of-county responses that are non-reimbursable calls. So we need to make sure we check that. And I know that Chief Hubert was right on top of that, too. He watched it. Seek cost recovery for response to repeated false alarms. In Oceana, we don't have that. I know Roy Grandy does. And response to extended standbys for public utility companies. Your tax dollars, for those of you that live in this community, the money you spend on fire trucks and equipment, fire and life safety services, are being taken out to a public utility incident, and they sat out there, I think, for 5 hours one day. There should be a thing in place that said the first 30 minutes is free, and from then on you pay. And calls caused due to negligence. We do recover that cost now on DUIs, and we can do it on crime scenes and those kinds of things. We can recover our cost in those. And charge for development plan reviews, fire protection systems, and fire flows. For the probably 5 hours I spent over the last 3 weeks on reviewing plans, going out and looking at the sites, looking at available water, and trying to create a fire protection plan or a list of items that we need to require of this development, we did it on your dollar. And it cost you money for us to do that. And fire flow test will probably take an hour and a half. So that too should be paid for, because the person that's going to walk away from those developments will do so like this, counting his income that he just made. And we did it on your dollar. That to be. We had an example down here. It's not a good example because they keep bringing things back to the parking lot. I sent a courtesy letter, and this is what we do. We send a courtesy letter, and there's programs available. Grover Beach is doing it very successfully. Courtesy letter and Royal Grandy, I'm sorry. And we ask the person nicely, within 15 days, will you clean that up? And they do, and they write us back. We send them a thank you letter. And we've had people call and say, I've never had government send me a thank you letter. And we say, well, you should. We appreciate what you did. And they're pitching in. And this is very contagious. When you start going out doing code enforcement, and if you do it right, do it properly, and you do it with respect and integrity, and to that person, that may not be junk. You know, you can't say, look at all this junk. It's not junk to him. But maybe there's some value to that. And in some people, when we go back and respect these people's culture and who they are, they may not have ever had a workbench. They work on a transmission under a tree in the dirt. We have to respect that. So to them, what they're doing is there's nothing wrong with that. Having that car laying out there with all the parts off is not wrong. We can talk to them, and if they say, well, my son and I are putting that together as a project for school, we simply say, when do you think you'll have it done? And they'll tell us, and we'll write it down, and we'll say, we'll see you on that date. It's easy. It's not a hard thing to do to get along with people. Now the bad part of it is, to a degree, and I shouldn't say bad, but these are typical. Are these opportunities, and this is local government concerns, are these opportunities what's best for the people we serve? Remember, we put the people first? And so the obvious answer to me is, yeah, this is a great opportunity for the people you serve. It's a great opportunity for the district. I think the workforce would enjoy it. I think it provides more people, more opportunities, more equipment. And then you get into, do we have the political will and courage to make change? And making change is not really easy. For supporters, you have some that are lukewarm or not at all. And so changes, you know, it's like my wife when she takes the TV control. I go nuts for about 45 minutes until I settle down. You have to be in charge. You really don't lose local control with this process. The process they're using has a fire oversight committee. And what they do is they meet quarterly, I believe. And it's usually a council member from each community or a board member, a general manager, two city managers, and the fire chief. And they say, here's the things you told us this program would do. It's a report card. Are we doing? Maybe they won't do right by us here, but they will. We're talking about the community and the members and their welfare and their safety and their lives. And I think that those are the kinds of things that we don't get mixed in with element of trust. And are these opportunities dependent on the fire sprinklers or community enhancement program, which was code enforcement, and fees? I would say they're not dependent on it, but I think that it would be foolish not to do those simply because they support the goals and objectives of what we're trying to do. And, Mr. President, I'd be happy to hear any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much, Chief. I know there's been a lot of work and a lot of thought and a lot of experience go into that. And thank you to all of our firefighters also. The goals are inspiring. I'm very proud of our department. I'm very proud of the people in our department. And we have a great resource. And I think this is an opportunity to expand on that and to move forward in an even more positive direction. And first of all, is there any comment or questions from the board?
Not right now.
Barbara? Pamela?
I'd just like to thank the chief for the expansion on what we had read before, because I'm not a committee member on the fire department, so I was unsure of the things that you were talking about, and this helped a lot to explain those things.
Glad it did. Mm-hmm.
Excellent presentation.
Thank you.
Are there any comments or questions from the public on this?
Yes, I'm wondering what's the proportion between medical calls, such as the cardiac arrest, as compared to when someone's house is on fire?
Well, I think that.
Could we repeat the question or come up to the microphone, please, so that.
My name is Sharon Hanneman. I live on 24th Street. And I'm just wondering whether or not, or what the comparison is between medical calls. Is it 60% medical calls and 40% fire calls? Or how does that compare? The cost of them, what they respond with, how does that deal?
Thank you.
Thank you. And that is one of the original and oldest questions in the fire service, other than why are you cutting a hole in the roof? The medical calls are probably, I would say, 75 to 80% of the responses. The others break. Go on a call is usually limited information and often incorrect. And when we get there, it's not what we were under the impression that we were responding to. And we have to have our toolbox with us and that big thing full of water and all the hose. Because, and the other thing we run into is back-to-back calls or simultaneous calls. If we had a huge amount of people, you would probably be able to run a rescue. But a lot of times I'll run a rescue and an engine to make sure that everybody gets there. So, very good question.
And does the sheriff usually respond over ahead of you?
I haven't worked here with the sheriff, but my experience with law enforcement is they always park in front of our building.
Karen?
Could you? Karen White, House Stand.
Yes, Karen.
My question is,
Yes.
Karen White, representing Halcyon. My question is for the chief and for the board. Does any of this planning include any chance of getting compensation for the dune runs? Because that is a specialized area and specialized equipment for the Oceana Fire Department. And I don't know that there's any tax money from the state coming. I was wondering if there's any compensation consideration being made on that or being looked at.
The answer to that, if I might respond, is not as yet. However, The agreement that the board entered into a couple years ago involved the state funding two-thirds of the cost of the vehicle that we used to make those responses, which has also been used, for example, in my personal experience when there was a shooting in the community, officer-involved shooting about a year ago, that vehicle that responded, provided lights and so forth. It can also respond to traffic emergencies, things of that nature. But there is no direct, immediate compensation from the state for that, although we're looking into that as well. Other comment or questions? Nina?
Nina Grabiel, Oceano resident. Just so you know, I've been certified CPR and first aid on even having representatives from Oceano go to the meetings, the initial discussions. I think that's just it's absurd that we even have to even have that kind of discussions. Like, yeah, there's no commitment, so let's just go and check it out and make sure that things are going to be worked out to accommodate Oceano as well as possible. I don't understand why there had to be such a long discussion at last week's meeting. But that being said, watching your presentation, I am concerned about funding. Now, where does Oceano Fire Department get its money? Do you know?
I could probably answer that as well. We get a portion of a percent of property tax revenue that's collected in the community, and that is all. There's a very significant difference between Oceano being a community services district and the cities such as Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, and that they collect sales taxes and other taxes within the community, and they have a general fund. The property taxes and things that are collected in Oceano go directly to the county, and our property taxes, of course, go to the county as well. Things such as the bed tax from our Oceano Inn goes to the county. It does not go to our community. Mm-hmm. However, the county does provide us with a percent of the property taxes that are collected to support the fire department. But we don't have a general fund, and we don't have things that the cities can do they can collect a little more sales tax or something and allocate their funds. We don't really have the flexibility to do that, certainly not to the degree that the cities have. But well, that's how we fund the fire department, is basically with a portion of your property tax.
Right, but just as a city has to approach the community in order to raise the sales tax, I'm sure that if Oceano wanted to, they could put forth a proposition on election night and have people vote where they want to have a certain amount increased for their fire department. So there is a methodology to increase funding if you wanted to, right? So we're not totally at the mercy of the county. But we do pay property tax that funds the fire department, whereas I imagine in the other cities they don't. Your property tax does not pay for like Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach.
They have general funds, but we don't have a general fund. The general fund goes in, and then they have water funds, which are only for that. But the general fund then is distributed amongst police, fire, and other.
Right, and you get your general fund money from what? They get it from sales taxes?
It comes from sales tax, most of it, I think.
Right, so it's six, one, half a dozen, the other, So what I know, and when I saw your presentation is, so what you're telling me is that if I want to make an improvement to my existing home, add on to it or whatever, remodel it, whatever, so in order for me to get the fire department to sign off on it, I have to pay an additional fee? Okay, so what was that all about up there?
And it's a good question. Grover Beach went through this when we put together the sprinkler ordinance in Grover Beach. It required fire sprinklers in all new construction, including expansions. And then a group of the folks came in and said, we don't think that's fair. And Grover Beach agreed with them. And they changed the size of expansion without having to do that. And I agree with that, too. I think, but that's what it's for, is you bring it forward, and the policymakers make those decisions. So on yours, this is not talking about the expansion of your home. When this ordinance would come in, you would have a chance to look at it. What this is talking about is taking existing vacant land or something that would be demolished and building a brand new apartment building or structure or whatever. So to take your existing home and to add on to it would not necessarily, and this is what you'd have to watch for with the board when they talk about this, is it would not necessarily trigger any, you would pay no fees other than what you normally would pay anyhow, but no fire fee, no sprinkler fee or anything like that. That's not the intent here. The intent is to make sure that other folks who are building new stuff, you know, would pay their way.
Can I make a point?
Please, real Patrick. Quickly?
Just so everybody I know, no decisions are going to be made tonight about anything. What's being brought to the board is a recommendation by staff that they direct us to look into all of these options and to try to come back to them with specific implementation plans for each individual item. So when you're talking about fees, we don't know what the form of any fee change may take if we ever get there. So the detail of just talking about that, we can do that at that time.
Okay.
Right now, we're just talking about things we want to look at. We want to get direction from the board to staff to tell us to go look at it and to come back to them with specific implementation plans.
I definitely think we should be looking and participating in the discussions. I don't think that's going to hurt anybody at all to do that. In fact, it would be to our benefit. And that needs to be put to a stop. And starts locally. That's it.
Thank you. One of the things that impressed me about the chief's presentation is ways that we can share resources and better utilize our resources, perhaps surplus some existing resources to offset the costs of the proposals, which I found a very attractive part of the presentation. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. We'll come back to the board and comments, or how would we like to ask staff to proceed? Vern, thoughts?
Well, I'd like to first of all thank Doug Hamp for the time we spent the other day going over this. Spent about a half a day on this, actually, in his office. And I'm very happy to hear the concerns that came out tonight, because I've also had quite a bit of concerns. And there are a few things on this that that I want to be very careful of. And that is I don't want to see new taxes or charges that are already out there being paid for through our property tax. However, there are a lot of cost-saving issues in this that need to be looked at and brought forward. And we need to see the pros and cons, the positives and the negatives on each and every one of them. Most of these things I like. Not all of them, but most of them I do. And I think that we don't want to limit our options by not looking into things. So I think we should be looking at what the options are, and coming back and making decisions on it. But get the staff involved in the talks and negotiations with Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach as far as what it's going to take to be involved in it, and come back with the specifics.
Actually, so I would say yes, please proceed with investigating fire consolidation and working with our neighbors in cost savings and sharing equipment and sharing training. All of that makes eminent good sense. We'll see what we can participate in, but we do need to get out there and find out what's required so that we can make an educated decision, and also let the people of this community know about this. So yes, I'd say please do go forward with your investigation. And thank you so much for being here, even the short time. We're sorry to see you go.
This will give our staff a good opportunity to look for the betterment of Oceano and more participation with our fellow communities. And I think it's a good thing. And once again, thank you.
When I was looking at the recommended action, it was to implement the changes. Right now, when I look at this, I think the first four items are things that perhaps we could say that we would like to go ahead and do those, and then a little more research, 5 through 10.
Can I make some a recommended change to that recommendation?
I was looking at your recommendation,
yeah,
sir.
Rather than say implement, I think that was a bad choice of words, and after I submitted it to the public, I couldn't change it. I would suggest that it says direct staff to recommend specific changes to the board to these recommended changes. In other words, we will come back and recommend specific things for each of these items kind of as we get to them. If you want to prioritize them, we'd do what you want to do.
My suggestion would be 1 through 4 would be the priority.
The first four ones look like cooperative efforts with the other jurisdictions, and 5 through 10 mostly look at things that are community specific. Maybe we could at least give the staff some direction that we would support items 1 through 4 proceeding to that would involve discussions, would it not, with the other agreement. That I'd like to see that you had authority to make those assurances in your negotiations when they come up.
So we'll go back to implement 1 through 4 and then support for the others?
I can't agree with that. I think we're all on one page here as far as this is the direction we want to go. But when you look at sharing a common fire chief and training officer with the, you know, with the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grove Beach, and you're going to go back and you're going to tell staff, okay, we're going to go do this, and you're going to tell them to do that when we don't know what the cost to do it is.
Okay. I believe that's what we have a general manager for, to negotiate the cost.
Well, how does he negotiate a cost when we've told him that this is what he's to do? He's to get involved in this. You know, I mean, this is the kind of the mistake we made with AGP. We went and told our general manager to go get video service here, and he was directed that he had to do it, and they knew he had to do it, and he had no negotiating tools left. He was already told that.
Let's maybe take number one, sharing a common fire chief. Does this board want to do that?
Do you want to
go out and try to find one on your own?
No, I think we want to do it, but I think we need to know what the specifics are involved before we make that decision. I think that's the decision we want to make. That's the decision I want to make, but I want to know what it's going to cost us.
Well, then maybe we should make the motion that the general manager should go talk to Aurora Grande and Grover Beach and find out what our share of the cost for a fire chief and training officer would be.
That's excellent.
You want to take them one at a time?
I can agree with that.
That's a motion.
Okay.
That's for number one.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we authorize the staff to negotiate with the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach to share a common fire chief and training officer and investigate the costs that would attach to that and bring the cost back to the board. Is that correct statement of your motion?
Yes.
May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
I'll go to the last one, developing a regional reserve firefighter program. I move that we do that.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we participate in developing a regional firefighter.
That was given to me, that the regional firefighter program, if we need an extra guy out of this pool, they come over here and work. We pay them for working here. We don't pay them for their other time. If they need somebody from here, they call them and they go over there. I mean,
you know, one thing, what this is going to require is an agreement between the three agencies. And so it hasn't been determined yet exactly how this program is going to work. This would give us an opportunity to participate in developing the program, and then we would come back, staff would come back to the board with a recommended agreement that would have to be approved by the board. Yeah. And during those negotiations, if there are issues that the board doesn't like, then we can go back to the other two agencies and try to amend that agreement.
Okay, so if the motion is to pursue this, right, I'm in full support of it. If the motion is to make that decision that we're doing it today without knowing what that involves, then I want to see what it involves and make that decision once we know what it involves.
If I'm not mistaken, there's no way in the world we right. can make a decision today. Right. We're just giving staff, directing staff to pursue these goals for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, and the other the other agencies won't enter into the agreement unless our board approves it. And I'm sure the attorney would like to see it in writing.
These are developing is the verb, developing an agreement, developing a program, not approving a program in okay. per se at this time.
Okay, as long as it's not a commitment to the fact before we have the specifics, I'm fine with this.
Could I speak to the issue for just a second? Without putting too fine a point on it, I think Director Dahl does make a good point in that I have seen any number of cases where a chief executive officer of a public agency has been given specific instructions to go and complete negotiating whatever the agreement is with a particular party. And that set of specific instructions has been used as a hammer to kind of beat the public agency into submission, because that's what you're supposed to do, and you don't have any real choices or latitude. And so recognizing that that is sometimes a problem, if you couch this in...
Okay, so if I recall, we have a motion and a second to... proceed with...
Could you repeat the motion, please?
Why don't you make the motion, Frank?
Well,
I withdraw my motion.
No, she had to.
Is the motion withdrawn then?
Yeah, I'm. Sure. Okay. I made it.
All
you
right.
make it.
I make the motion that we pursue developing a regional reserve firefighter program.
I'll second your motion, Vern.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on that? May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
On the, I think we've given hopefully adequate direction to staff to proceed with the planning and negotiation. And I look forward to a package that can be brought back and implemented.
We'll start right away.
On the items that, items 5 through 10, which are more local, specific local items, how do we want to proceed with that? Would we like to take any of those specifically for implementation, or give, what direction would we like to give the staff on that?
I think maybe number 6, that's a one that probably everybody sitting at this table could agree on.
Any others in the package? I tend to support all of these items. The 5 items for the public are: number 5, requiring automatic fire sprinklers in new construction. Number 6, greater participation in out-of-county strike team assignments when they are reimbursable opportunities. 7, establishing fines for illegal use of fireworks. 8, establishing fines for repeated false alarms. Again, the chief has stated that that's not been a problem in Oceano. Establishing fees for extended standby times by fire personnel. The presentation specifically addressed items where, for example, when an electric billed for the service effectively. Establishing fees for a review of fees for development services provided by the fire department. That's the plan reviews, things like that. Some of that we may already recover, but there's a number of things and on-site activities that may be billing for new development.
I would like that number 5, though. I'd like that to be by itself because there are some buildings, I think, maybe automatic fire sprinklers we should insist on. Maybe there should be some others that would be a certain amount of space before we did that, and maybe some that we wouldn't at this point. So I'd like 5 to be by itself.
Okay.
Well, I think that this whole evening has been more oriented toward whether we're going to look at dealing with joint operations with Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, and that these internal things need to be separately agendized on a regular agenda and posted to the public so that the public knows that we're making these decisions on something that is going to affect them financially. So they have a chance to come down here and make comments. I don't think the public's aware that we're looking at establishing fines for the use of illegal fireworks here. Or
well, number one,
like
you'd
that.
Have to be able to, how are you going to prosecute it anyway?
Mm-hmm. Chairman Hill?
Karen.
Karen White, Halcyon, I have a question. Mm-hmm. I heard no discussion on joint dispatching, which in my experience as a resident forever in this fire district is a critical need for some way of unifying the South County so the fire departments know where they're going.
I think that's under number 2.
Is that under number 2? Because we don't have a list of these priorities, so you didn't discuss it. So that's one of the things I think should be high on the list.
And we're quite sensitive.
Living in Halcyon, where we get CDF arriving before Oceano. Thank you.
Thank you. We are sensitive to that. As you know, Grover Beach is revamping their center. Our fire department is dispatched through Grover Beach. So sometimes we have a repeated call out, if you will, until we get the call.
It doesn't right now. Doesn't ours first go?
Chief and training officer with the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. To use the Regional Emergency Operations Center located at the Arroyo Grande Fire Station as a centralized fire dispatch center. Developing a cooperative equipment purchasing agreement with the city of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach and developing a regional reserve firefighter program. The other...
President Hill. We had specific motions about the 3 items, but we did not have one on the dispatch, consolidated dispatch. So if you want to include that, we need to have a motion and a second to vote.
That needs some research, doesn't that one?
It takes a lot because the other agencies aren't anywhere near resolving this issue. What it would do is allow us to be an active part of the negotiations. Mm-hmm. I think... Correct me if I'm wrong, but we're quite a ways away from solving that problem.
On which one was that?
The centralized dispatch.
That's an ongoing issue. There's a new chief of police coming on board in Roy Grandy. And when he's here, then those discussions will probably continue in earnest. So it's going to take some time.
Then how do they involve ours when ours goes through the sheriff's?
Well, Roy Grandy doesn't. I mean, Grover Beach gets your call.
Yeah.
Sheriff notifies Grover Beach, and they dispatch out.
Well, and there's an opportunity for us to change. We don't.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at.
I think it's an opportunity for us to influence the course of events that include Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach.
Right.
Yes, and that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. So we need a motion then to again authorize staff to participate in the development of a cooperative agreement for a regional emergency operations dispatch center.
You just made a motion?
I will stand aside and allow a motion to be made.
So no, moved. We need that certain word in there. I don't.
Yes, we do.
Okay, I believe Bill has made that motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we proceed as suggested. Further public comment on that item? Hearing none, I may have a roll call, please, Gina.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Then we may want to particularly look at that. Should we bring that back later? Would you like to consider?
I don't care talk about it. I just thought the other ones were maybe a little easier. I thought the
okay.
five would need maybe several different scenarios presented with that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, A might be all new construction, B might be commercial units only, or C might be over so many square feet, or one maybe just in new garages, or, you know.
Or multifamily residential.
I'd leave that to the discretion of the fire department to give us several different scenarios on it, because as a member of the public was talking about, if she remodels her house being remodeled, what it would cost. So.
Mm-hmm. So it would be on the order of what constitutes new construction for the in terms of the recommendation.
I mean, in an ideal world, we would have fire sprinklers in all our homes, old and new. But it's unfortunately not an ideal world.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts from other board members?
Well, I think anything on the rest of this is not critical for this evening, and it should be brought back where it's agendized on a regular meeting, so that people that may want to speak on any of these issues know that we're making mm-hmm. this decision.
I think the agenda for this evening was fairly well publicized. I know that both newspapers carried information on it this morning, and the staff has posted the meeting properly with the recommendations available.
Well, I'm sure that there's very few public out there thought that we were going to be looking at establishing new fees tonight, or whether we were looking at development requirements, those type of things, whether we were looking at fireworks this evening. I think that the general public, for what has been posted out there, does not think that we're doing that this evening.
I don't think we are either, Vern. We didn't establish anything.
Requires an ordinance or resolution that we can't pass tonight. Those would have to come back for board consideration later.
Yeah. So
and you might need a formal public hearing for that, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So bring that stuff on separate agenda item and let's discuss it. So we can look at each of these individually. This is not something that's critically timed for this meeting. This is something that it's not going to change anything if it comes up at the next meeting.
Okay, I think we should probably re-agendize this then for a regular meeting and have staff make recommendations for specific implementation of these proposals. That would be items 7 through 10. Is that the ones you're specifically referring to?
5 through 10.
Probably 5 also?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you...
That'll allow us to...
6 is... the thing is, I don't know if anybody's out there interested in talking on 6 or not. With greater participation in out-of-county strike team assignments when they're reimbursable opportunities. I don't think that anything will change on that between now and the next meeting. But if you think that there's going to be, or if the fire chief thinks that we're going to miss some opportunities because of that, that's probably not a sensitive issue in the community.
I would probably think if it was going to cost Oceano money to go fight a fire someplace else, we wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Mr. President, if I may.
Please.
The out-of-county strike team thing is nothing more than validating the current charges that we have listed on our state response salary sheet. And it's a simple matter of going in and updating them. And I believe there's a small update that needs to be made, and that's all it takes, and then we send it in. So it's
like
not really doesn't even require board
something.
Action. But it was what it
doesn't
was.
Doesn't require board action.
No, sir. What it was is a one of the things we could do to possibly make sure we're recovering all of our costs. Was this an example type of thing that really doesn't take any further action?
Okay.
I certainly support your efforts to recover all of our costs. Efficient direction, I think, then, for staff to be able to proceed. And we've accomplished the main objective of the evening. Item number 6. We're ready to move on. Board member items for discussion. Start with Pamela. Anything else tonight? Bill?
Okay.
Barbara?
We had a little notice here about the Oceano Airport fire protection. Somebody wanted to talk about that since it's laying here.
We've had several attempts to contact the County Airport Administration over the course of
the 10 years?
Several years now. And been relatively unsuccessful. So just an open message, please, to the Board of Supervisors or the County Airport Administration, if you would please contact the fire department or the fire chief or the general manager, we would like to discuss with you the options to provide better service at the fire relating to fires that might occur at the airport, specifically foam containers and special metal extinguishers for metals fires. And that would necessitate some additional cost on the part of the district, and we would like to discuss that with the county administration and find out what their opinions are and present their options to them. So if anyone in the county administration is listening this evening, we would appreciate them contacting, passing the word on to the airport administrator and having them contact the district general manager or the fire chief.
I think maybe we ought to send a copy of this to our supervisor Sajan, and see what he can do to help us.
Well advised.
Should we give him our telephone number?
Okay. Any other items for discussion? Closing public comment. Anyone like to address the board at this time? Hearing none, we're adjourned.